ABC Radio Australia.
They're known as the FMI Sisters, 45 Catholic nuns who defied the Japanese forces during the invasion of Papua New Guinea in World War II to save the lives of Australian prisoners of war. Tolle artist Lisa Hilly came across their story after being commissioned by the Australian War Memorial to take a look at Australia and PNG's shared war history. She travelled to the town of Rabaul in East New Britain province and spent 3 weeks there doing some digging into the story. And I've been speaking to Lisa to find out more about the incredible tale that she uncovered.
I just looked up on the internet war history with Papua New Guinean women, and the records came up and it just said that there was this small story about these Indigenous sisters who grew food and kept these POWs alive. And I was like, what is this? What's this? And so that was it. It was just like this hint. It was just like an excerpt of a story. It was only like a couple of sentences in like a massive blog. And I just had to like keep kind of digging and digging and digging. And then I realized that they were from Funapope, which was like literally like across the road from where I was staying. I didn't know it was like a Catholic mission. It had all this significant history. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to wander over there with my camera. And so I did.
That's incredible to come across this story just by a bit of Googling, and then the coincidence that you were staying across from what was the Catholic mission in Funapope, where these nuns lived during World War II. And as you continued researching, you found that in 1942, the Japanese invaded Rabaul and took the Australian and European missionaries that were there at the time captive and put them in an internment camp. But there is this incredible story of how one of the Polish bishops that was there managed to keep everyone alive by convincing the Japanese forces that he was German. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Bishop Scharmark, Leo Scharmark. So he wasn't German at all. But he basically like did like a Heil Hitler kind of, you know, salute. But he saved them all because the Japanese were like, they would have just shot them all. Because in terms of like the Japanese mindset, they were there to liberate Papua New Guinea and Indigenous people of the Pacific. You know, they just saw the Australians and the Europeans were like, you guys need to get out. But, you know, while we're here, we're going to insert our aggressive regime. You know, it was very brave of him. He hadn't done those actions and they may not have survived.
Yeah, wow. And as you said, the Japanese were really only there to keep the Australian and Europeans captive, but not the people from PNG, who, as you say in an article for the Australian War Memorial, the Japanese were happy to liberate those in PNG. But the FMI sisters refused to leave and decided to stay in Funapope to provide food for the missionaries who were kept captive there. What did you learn about why those 45 sisters decided to stay?
So there's a beautiful conversation. Oh my God, I need to read it because then you can actually hear their voices. So the sisters get summoned by this Japanese police officer and, you know, he says to them, are you children of the mission? And the sisters say, yes, sir. Sakaima says, do you love the fathers and sisters of the mission? And the sisters say, yes, sir, we do. Sakaima says, do you also love the Christo? So he's saying like Christ. And the sisters say, yes, sir, we do love him. Do you have pity on the missionaries of Ramale and bring them food every day? Why is that? And the sisters responded, we help the missionaries because they taught us everything we know, because they have worked for us and brought us up. The missionaries fed us when we were small and gave us everything we have. And that's something that's very universal across Papua New Guinean cultures and Pacific cultures. It's reciprocity and it's just always giving back.
And of those 45 sisters, there were two in particular that you've mentioned in your research notes were perhaps leaders of the group, Sister Cecilia and Sister Teresa. What do we know about from what history records show of them as to how the sisters were being treated by the Japanese forces at the time?
A lot of them died during that period because of, you know, indirectly through the war with bombs and lack of food and just ill health and because some of the Japanese would like deny medical services to people at the time. And so Sister Cecilia and Sister Teresa were, I believe that they were tortured by the Japanese. And I did see an image of them in the Australian War Memorial Archive. There's an image of the two sisters with two Japanese, I think they're called Kempai, which is like Japanese police. The image speaks volumes. Like you can see the body language in the sisters. They just look traumatized. You know, you can see they're just like, these are the guys that inflicted pain.
And now you've taken this story, this incredible story of these FMI sisters and what they did, and you've turned it into an art piece for the Australian War Memorial. Tell me a little bit about that.
Because it was so big, the research was so much complex, it was really hard to kind of like whittle it down to just like, okay, what am I doing here? And I just started thinking about, you know, how do I make visible the sisters' history? How do I also pay tribute to the civilians that were held in the camp? So it was just working through all these ideas, and I landed on using the archival image of the FMI sisters. And it's just a glorious image of them. There's 12 of them. They're all standing there grouped in the camp. And, you know, there's this beautiful light that's kind of streaming in. And it's like, because they have white veils and a gray habit. And they've got these black cinctures that they would wear around their waist. It's a black and white image. So I created a digital montage of the sisters, where I researched all of these different flowers of people's nations that were represented in the camp, because there were 17 different nationalities in terms of like the 300 civilians that were there. There was so much kind of layering in one image, in that image alone. You know, I just wanted to make it beautiful and vibrant and bring colour back. I put in, you know, a beautiful sprig of wattle for the Australians.
What is the biggest learning that you've taken away from this particular story of these sisters?
I spoke to another FMI sister. She's still alive. She's 19, so she lived through the war. Her name was Sister Angelica. I spoke to her, and she was just this incredible Tolai woman who basically defied Tolai custom and arranged marriage and ran away to the church. So what I kept hearing, and what I kept hearing from Sister Angelica, was the church was this opportunity to basically for female sovereignty. That's what got me, and that's what hit me. I was like, this is feminism. To just have that commitment and that strong determination to just be free and independent. I just thought, wow, that's so remarkable, you know, and to dedicate their lives to service. And so as I kind of got to know and understand what the Catholic sisters do, it just really showed to me the significance of these FMI sisters who actually labored every day for, you know, 3.5 years to keep these Australian and European POWs alive.
And what are you hoping that people will take away from this artwork?
That Papua New Guinean women were involved in the war as well, and that they were impacted by the war. I just want them to actually see a different dimension of war history, especially in Papua New Guinea. There's not many stories about Papua New Guinean women that are connected to war. And so I just want people to see that these women were here, they were alive, this is what they did. You need to respect how amazing they are. Don't ever underestimate a Papua New Guinean Catholic nun.